How's it going, folks? Greg Carlwood here, your humble host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, a marijuana-fueled romp through the worlds of conspiracy, the paranormal, and the all-around fringe, where I focus on trying to provide the best interviews with the most interesting guests on a whole host of strange and suppressed topics. And to celebrate our 100th episode, we had 13 of my favorite guests pop in for short 10 to 15-minute segments. And some of them were so interesting that I wanted to pull them out of that massive 3-hour show and let them be appreciated on their own in a way that's easier to find and share and all that good stuff. So pack your glass and park your ass, people, and get your mind right for the journey ahead, because these, my friends, are the Higher Side Chats. I know you've been a busy guy. You put out a lot of work since we last spoke. I was hoping for this little spot. You could tell us about the book you just put out last September, The Infinite Mindfield, The Quest to Find the Gateway to Higher Consciousness, which I believe is largely about the pineal gland and the pineal gland symbolism throughout history and ancient cultures. Is that right?
Yeah, in general terms, it's my attempt to pull together a lot of the disparate threads that I've been writing about over recent years. What I'm doing is I'm looking into the neurological and pharmaceutical aspects and neuropharmacological aspects of consciousness and how it interfaces with reality. And I was particularly interested in the way in which the symbolism of the pineal gland goes back through most cultures right across the world, and also the way in which it links directly into the esoteric traditions in those cultures as well. And indeed, I was surprised to find that a lot of the symbolism and ideas go right back to ancient Sumer, and indeed can be linked directly with such oddities as out-of-the-body experiences and such like.
Yeah, man, that's pretty awesome. I've been pretty intrigued by the topic for a while, because I've been told that the pineal is often represented by a pine cone, which is interesting because there's representations of pine cones at the Vatican and Masonic lodges and a ton of ancient cultures. And also people talk about that symbol holding some hidden knowledge behind it, which the whole thing seems pretty widespread, like you said, back to ancient the Sumerians.
Oh, absolutely. For instance, I took the opportunity a few years ago to go over to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. And again, if you look at the main temple of Angkor Wat, and you look at the shape of the main towers, they clearly are huge pineal glands, or at least pine cones. Now, of course, on top of that, if you wander around the particular Angkor Wat site, the greater site, there is another temple called the Bayon. And in the Bayon, there are scores of carved heads. Carved into the side of one of the temples, and all of them have the third eye symbol in the center of their forehead. So clearly we have something here that's intriguing and virtually universal. Now, where I've taken it is slightly different to a lot of other people, in the sense that I've linked the pineal gland directly to neurology, in the sense that I'm particularly intrigued in the evidence that the pineal gland internally, that is, endogenously generates the substance known as dimethyltryptamine, which of course, as you guys will be very aware, is one of the most powerful hallucinogenic drugs known to man, and indeed is the major constituent of ayahuasca. Now, one of the things that stunned me was to discover that, in fact, the brain itself brews its own ayahuasca, in that we now have definite evidence, and I know a lot of people out there will say there is absolutely no evidence that the brain actually excretes dimethyltryptamine. Well, there's been work done by a lady called Jimo Borogin, who is a researcher at an American university, which I think is the University of Minneapolis. And she's now discovered, and get this is virtually breaking news in many ways, that they have discovered dimethyltryptamine in the pineal gland of live rats. Now, the reason that they use rats is because of the similarity in terms of the neurological structures of the rat's brain to the human being's brain. So here we have something stunning, because over the years, you know, they have discovered dimethyltryptamine in the blood, they discovered it in spinal fluid, they've discovered it in the lining of the stomach, various other places, but they've never discovered it actively in the brain. Now, not only that, but this is definite proof that the pineal gland generates it. But on top of that, what is even more intriguing is the pineal gland also generates something called harmaline. And harmaline is what's known as a monooxidase inhibitor, in the sense it's an MAO inhibitor. And effectively what this does is, just like one of the constituents of ayahuasca, which also contains an MAO inhibitor, is it effectively facilitates the way in which DMT can be diffused within the brain. So this is intriguing stuff, and it clearly now shows that dimethyltryptamine is in fact a neurotransmitter. And indeed, the human brain is designed to have this because there's things called the trace amine-associated receptors in the brain. These are receptor sites in the neurons, and these are designed specifically, like a key is to a lock, to actually work directly with dimethyltryptamine. So as Rick Strassman once said, you know, that there's evidence to say that dimethyltryptamine is the modulator by which we modulate, the brain modulates reality. There seems to be powerful evidence now that this is the case.
Yeah, man, that is awesome and super fascinating, because I've been hearing about this for a while and it was speculation for a long time, but it seems like now we've got some hard data. And I keep hearing that at the heart of a lot of secret societies, a big part of the hidden knowledge they preside over involves the pineal gland and its importance, and it seems like conventional science might be catching up to that, which is pretty awesome.
Totally, and that's why I'm so excited about the book, because what I do is I bring the two together in the sense that I review the neurology of everything, but I, on top of that, deal in great detail with the secret societies. For instance, some of the symbolism, this caduceus, for instance, and the twin snakes, because there's a link here directly also with the Kundalini experience. There is also a very, very powerful link to the way in which the brain actually functions. Now, you will see the sign of the caduceus everywhere. You know, the idea of the two twin snakes actually coming together, while going up a central pole. And then at the top, there's a kind of the two heads of the snakes come together and there's a circle. And that's the pineal gland. Now, if you start seeing this symbolism that way, you will see exactly how powerful this is. And I suspect that this has been known for centuries. You know, you look into Masonic symbolism. In fact, there's two or three buildings in New York I've discovered that actually has pineal gland symbolism on the side of the buildings, which were designed by one of the world's leading Masonic architects. Yeah, so clearly that there is a link here with Masons. In fact, in Masonic symbolism, there's something called the Hercules Pillars, which is, in fact, there is a pub in central London that I used to drink in called the Hercules Pillars. And this is the major pub opposite the Grand Masonic Hall in Holborn in London. And effectively, you walk into the pub and you can actually see these two symbols. And it's the Eider and the Pingala, which effectively, again, are the twin channels by which the Kundalini force goes up the spine through the body to enlighten the pineal gland.
Damn, man. It is super interesting because, you know, I live here in San Diego and I'm 2 hours outside of LA, but there is a massive, massive mall in LA and it has this picture that I believe comes from the Sumerians. It's like 5 stories tall on the side of this building. And I think one has a big beard and the other one looks like a falcon, but he's holding a pine cone like he's trying to give it to someone. And in the other hand, he's holding like a bucket. And every time I see that, I'm like, that is so ironic, because marketing and consumerism and all this mall shit is, it's almost directly opposed to enlightenment and the things that the pineal might unlock for us.
Oh, well, in times with the Sumerian symbolism, I mean, this is symbolism of Marduk. And of course, if you start looking into the old Sumerian legends, you actually get into the Anunnaki and the idea of people actually genetically engineering people, for want of a better term. Now, this again fascinates me because I think this can be linked directly back to DNA. And in fact, a lot of the individuals, and I've had a similar experience myself, not with dimethyltryptamine, but using the lucid light device, which I've touched upon last time. Mm-hmm. And of course, the lucid light device, as far as I'm aware, and I'm very strongly a believer of this, actually stimulates the pineal gland to excrete dimethyltryptamine. Now, when I had this effect, I had very, very vivid dreams after I used the machine, and I had snakes. I was dreaming of snakes. Now, this is exactly the kind of symbolism that if you go down to the indigenous peoples of the Amazon basin, that's the one thing they continually talk about is the snakes and the way in which the snakes are your totem creatures and such like. So clearly, there's powerful symbolism. And I believe it's DNA communicating with us. I think we are tools for DNA. DNA is what we really are. And it is a way of communicating with our own DNA. Not only this, but I think that there is a link here to something called biophotons. And the because DNA gives off light and it gives off photons. On top of that, I'm working very closely now with a guy called Professor Irvin Laszlo, who you may have heard of.
I have heard of him. Haven't had him on the show yet, but he's a fascinating guy.
Oh, totally. Irvin, but you might be interested to know that Irvin and I, we are launching the new paradigm concept at the University of Milan in Italy. And we've got leading psychologists, neurologists, particle physicists, all spending a weekend presenting this new model of what Irving calls the Akashic paradigm. Mm-hmm. The idea that the zero point field is an information field and everything we perceive is actually drawn up from the information field. And I'm suggesting that our processor that gives us access to this information field is the pineal gland.
Wow. That is super interesting stuff, man. There is so much more meat on these bones. We're going to have to do a longer show. I mean, the pineal is a fascinating thing. All the symbolism, what it might mean, the power behind it. Yeah, we could go on forever, but thanks so much for stopping in to do this. You never fail to get my mind going, man.
Thank you very much, Greg. It's great to talk to you, and congratulations on the 100th show as well.
Thank you. And do you want to give the people some info about your books and website before we let you go?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The book is called The Infinite Mindfield. It's available in US bookshops and bookshops around the world as well, which is really great. My website is anthonypeake.com. That's Anthony with an H, and Peak, P-E-A-K-E.com. And also join me on Facebook.
Very cool, Anthony. You're the man. Definitely one of my favorite guests from the first 100, and we'll do it again in the next 100. So thanks again, man. Take care.
Thanks, Greg. See you. Bye.